crack the neck. Crack.
Crack your necks, everyone. Get ready. What is this, Nick?
Get ready for the perfect pour.
I got a personal sunburns. This song is called Nerds, our intro outro song.
Yeah,
sunburns.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that. Whatever, Mike.
And I went to Tokyo Garden this weekend and got Andy, the lead singer, guitarist for Sunburns. He was there to play the Fuse Fest acoustic show, and he was like, it was like at the end of the night, and there was just a group of us there, and he's like, what do you want me to play? What do you want me to play? I said, Nerds, play Nerds. He's like, all right, Mike, for you, Mikey.
For you.
Played Nerds by himself, basically acoustic.
He recognized you even with the mustache and sunglasses on, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Oops, in that brand. So there you go.
Woo-hoo.
Find them on Bandcamp, Perfect Pour listeners. Welcome to the Perfect Pour.
Hello, everybody.
Podcast about craft beer. I'm Mikey.
I am Nick.
Somebody else is.
We have a ghost. Mickey's
here.
The ghost in the background. In the room.
And as a special guest, since Matt can't be here tonight, he's on the coast drinking beer.
The Fresno coast. Hamptons.
Otherwise known as the Fresno Hamptons. So we brought in another craft beer podcaster from Arizona, Growler Radio, and Drunkard's Call, Steve McShane.
Gentlemen,
yay!
Those who are about to drink, I salute you.
Welcome and hello.
We needed a backup. Without Matt, we had to bring in some heavy hitter.
Hey, I'm glad I was able to do it. I thank you for having me. And I felt really bad because the last couple times we tried to hook up, I couldn't do it, and it worked out. So I'm ecstatic.
We do a really good planning. Like, same thing on Darktown and Perfect Pour is like an hour before. Hey, you want to be on the podcast? We're podcasting in an hour. Like, oh, thanks for the calendar. Like, calendar? What are you talking about?
What is a calendar?
But some of the best content comes at those times, though, too. So. You know, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
I'll chisel it in my Mayan tablet.
So we have we got this special package from Arizona. We're not going to say technically who it was from. It's from Growler Radio.
Yeah.
But of Arizona beers I have not tried. It was quite a full package, which I like full packages.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, now? Most.
Yes,
most do.
Wow.
two minutes in. Well,
yeah. 2 minutes in.
We got some Arizona craft beer in front of us. We're drinking.
This is impossible. These are just relabeled California.
Allegedly
beers, right?
From Growler Radio.
Allegedly,
and we have we started out drinking Ska Brewing's Modus Operandi, which is an awesome name for an IPA, and that's what it is an IPA. And being a California IPA snob, I usually scoff at other IPAs outside of California. But this is very good. I enjoyed the Modus Operandi.
They're an interesting, very, very interesting brewery. In fact, I would urge all of your listeners to go to skabrewing.com and look at their, I think it's their Share the Love link, because you can actually go on there, put your name in, your address. I think you're basically joining their little team, or, you know, but they'll actually send you the recipes for their beers. So if anybody who actually home brews out there,
Nick,
yes,
they'll hook you up with all their recipes. The only thing they ask is that you let them know how it went.
Wow, that's pretty.
Yeah,
that's very much in the craft beer kind of
big
vibe is just being open and sharing. But that's like the ultimate. Like, there's no recipe that they won't give you of theirs.
I haven't gotten to try it because I'm not really a home brewer. I haven't done that yet. But that's what they say. They'll give you the recipes. They just want to know how it went. They might even ask you for a sample if it sounds like it went really well. And they want you to deviate from it, too. So do whatever you want with it. They're calling it open source brewing. Wow.
Like they're trying to... They're trying to see if somebody can do it better, then they'll just use that person's.
You do the R&D for us, and we'll take the credit.
Yeah. They're getting their own minor league system. They're going to call up brewers from home.
Nice.
Need some help.
They got a minor league system. I like that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So good. I'm glad the modus operandi went down well. I wasn't sure how much you guys were able to get as far as ska goes in California. Because
I don't think we've ever seen this one before.
It's hard for us to completely judge being in Fresno. But, Fresno, I don't ever see ska brewing. But Nick,
okay. I'm digging the can. I've never seen a label like this. Kind of, Reservoir Dogs esque.
Yeah,
really cool looking.
That's their MO: pinstripes and ska music. So
I like it.
Now,
is that the scene in Arizona? Is there ska music still happening?
I wish there really isn't.
Yeah, died out here too.
Yeah, I mean there's still some stuff going around, but we still get our share of tours that come through. It's like Les and Jay comes through, and Real Big Fish is here every year. But there's not like a local ska scene really. It's really unfortunate.
Maybe we need to make a revival, let it come back.
We should or not.
There's probably a lot of people that are
get
happy.
The checkered hats out.
Now I've just opened the Hop Knot IPA from Four Peaks.
Okay.
Four Peaks Brewing in Tempe.
Yes.
The Ska Brewing's in Tucson?
Ska's actually in Durango, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I kind of gave you a little bit of a Southwest theme there. So you've got three from Arizona. You've got your Four Peaks the Hop Knot. You have the Hop Notch from. You've got the Santan one also. Which one did I send you out there? I think it was another. Yeah, oh, Hop Shock. You've got the Hop Shock too.
We're gonna try and get.
And then there's also another IPA from up north, which is from Lumberyard.
Flagstaff.
We'll try again to get you some.
So now I've tried the Hop Knot, and I'm liking the Hop Knot as well. It's got a little bit maltier. I mean, I'm not good at describing beer yet. I'm not that educated.
It tastes like beer. Yeah. Long pause. So, trying to make something up. I can't make anything up. It's sweeter than the Hopperandi.
I'm going to wait for McShane to like say some flavors, and I'm going to be like, it does taste like that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so that one, at least according to Four Peaks, it's just an American style IPA. Your flavors are going to be a fresh hop, and it's kind of a mild beer. So you're also a little bit heavier for a canned IPA. I think it's 6.7%.
It does feel a little on the double side.
Yeah. So that's a pretty interesting company too. All of the beers that I sent, well, the one from Santan and the one from Four Peaks. Both of those are companies that are just starting to really go big.
Mm-hmm.
Go big by getting out of Arizona, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
But they both put in big expansions. I think Four Peaks just added another 20,000 square feet location. Santan did the same thing. And we're starting to get a little beer war going on, a friendly beer war, but it's pretty interesting.
That's what Tioga's been trying to do in here, is waiting for somebody to war with them. So
and get a feud going.
A friendly war, yeah. I think it's going to happen eventually. So up next, by the way, pretty soon, we're having the Java Stout.
From Santa Fe?
Nick is probably waiting for.
I'm going to lick the can when I'm done with this one.
The Santa Fe Brewing Company.
I'm kicking myself for never trying them until I went to the Strong Beer Fest here back in February, and I saw them and I was like, you know what? Whatever. There's so many other breweries. I'm going to go ahead and hit all these other ones. And then I went to another beer fest, the American Beer Fest out here.
American.
And it was just, I had that and it just blew my mind. just it's like drinking coffee. it's outstanding.
Oh, I'm drooling already.
Producer Becky has been waiting for this thing to be open.
I'm so surprised they're still here.
I know. We've been having some major discipline. Luckily, I've had Enjoy Buys to distract me
from all this good beer. So I'm glad you brought up.
What did you think of the last one?
Oh,
Enjoy Buy.
Yeah.
It's really good. I mean, I don't know, but it seems like it was better than the last one. But who can really say for sure? But it felt like it was.
Are they supposed to be different every time?
I don't think so. Oh. Just. You know, I mean,
this one in particular was good.
I mean, inevitably, they're going to be a little bit different. I mean, they would have to be, but...
Well, this is probably the freshest one we've ever gotten, too.
Yeah.
Being
that's, like, that may have been the difference, was, like, for just to do it in Stone Enjoy by Sidebar here. We finally... this is the first time Fresno was directly the Enjoy by.
Yeah. Not sent through to Fresno. Friends or other means.
Right.
But actually shipped through a distribution and days after it was bottled, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been all over town, all over the spot, Fresno's craft beer spots. It's been seen and spotted. And wow. I actually spotted it. We had like two rounds here. Like there was a first round, and that first round came in. It was during a time when and like the whole house was sick and I was working, and I didn't get out there in time, like by the time I got out there, I missed it. I'm like, well, I guess I'm not going to try the Enjoy Buy, even though it came to Fresno. And then it started popping up again, and I was able to get it. And it came to a point where I got so much of it. Like, the other night, I stopped at the liquor store in Herndon and West, and it was on the shelf, and I passed it by. I was like, I got enough of that.
Old news.
A week ago, I was just like, I was just scurrying everywhere to find it, and then now I'm just like,
meh.
I assume Phoenix has gotten a round of Enjoy By at some point.
We had one. I want to say the second to last one we got. But I don't think we got I think we did get some locations did. The thing that's funny about Phoenix is we're starting to get people that have connections. So some locations can get it, and then a lot of other places can't. So it's kind of weird. So like your BevMo's and your Total Wines, places like that can't get these things. But your local mom and pop type places that, you know, have an inn someplace, mm-hmm. they're starting to get a keg of the Enjoy Buys or some of the different things. It's kind of strange out here. It really is.
Sounds familiar.
Hey.
The thing that I like most about what Stone does with that Enjoy By series is that they actually leave it up to the fans of Stone to actually dictate where they're going to be putting the beer next. So would they actually follow their Twitter feed, and depending on the amount of noise that's made by state, you'll actually get your state will get, you know, some of the Stone loving, as it were. So it's kind of cool the way they do that. They've merged the whole social media. They've got their army. Yeah.
I'm surprised we got some then. Did we do something, Nick?
Yes, it was me. I tweeted twice.
Hey, guys, we'd like Enjoy By
Stone.
God, it's blowing up in Fresno.
Oh, my God. Two and a half tweets.
Send those guys some.
Perfect poor army.
Yeah. Both of us.
So before we move on, McShane, we've had your podcasting cohort, Donnie, on.
Yes.
But we have not had you on, so we have not gotten your beer history.
Ooh.
We'd like to know what your craft entry beer was and you know, what you were drinking before that.
Well, it all started when I was five.
Excellent.
As most beer stories start.
As one does. Okay, so I was a pretty late bloomer in the whole drinking field. So I had this thing about I didn't actually drink until I was 21. I was more into sports and stuff. I didn't go out and do didn't go out and party, had a really steady girlfriend, and didn't worry about all that stuff. Turned 21, lost the girlfriend, decided I wasn't going to go pro anywhere. Might as well catch up.
Yeah, let's just start drinking.
Yeah. I mean, Bud Lights, all that, those kind of things. The occasional ice house and whatnot. Whoa. But
there's one we haven't heard
during
yet.
During the ice craze.
The ice.
Yeah.
The ice era.
Cold filtered.
Everything. Ice this, ice that. Keystone Ice.
Yes. Natty Ice.
Exactly.
I was all about Keystone Ice. Ooh. This is Keystone Ice, guys.
Ice.
This is like, that was the craft beer. That was a craft beer for us. This is Keystone Ice. You're drinking Keystone Light?
$10 18 pack.
I'm drinking Keystone Ice. This is amazing tasting compared to your stupid Keystone Light.
Yes.
We actually took that to a frat party once, and they actually asked us to leave. It was
wow, that's a good quality frat. You got to get out of here. Yeah.
You leave now.
Hey, we got Keystone Ice. Get the fuck out of here.
Good day, sir. Good day. Good day.
There's no way you're going to pull chicks here. Get out of here.
No, no. Yeah, you're not going to help us. You have to leave. That's a status thing. That's ASU for you. But yeah, Guinness. Guinness was it, man. Guinness is where I started. I went black, and I loved the dark stuff. The stouts, the porters, that was it. I could, you know, we had a pub in Scottsdale called the Blarney Stone. Great place, one of those dark, seedy bars, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the kind of you and your buddies just go. You sit in the back. It's nice and smoky, and you're just pounding pints, and just there's an Irish band playing, and just a great time. One of those things where you're just shooting the bull. Great conversations, great waitresses. It's just an outstanding time. And it was all thanks to Guinness and maybe some Jameson.
Praise the Lord.
But yeah, Guinness did it. That started things.
Can people still smoke in bars in Arizona?
Not really. You got to go outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not much of a smoker. I'll tell you, I started. Kind of goes along with the whole beer history thing. I'm not a smoker. Never have been. But when I started craft beer tasting and really getting into it, it's blown my mind how great a cigar goes along with some craft beers. It's
apparently
amazing.
I know there's like, I mean, I've never been a smoker at all, but I just know that cigars somehow, some for whatever reason I'm not privy to, just apparently go well with beer. Bourbon and cigars.
I can see bourbon and cigars more than beer.
Like,
there's more of a harsh flavor in bourbon, where beer, I think your palate would be ruined by the cigar.
I don't know.
I think it depends on the beer. Like an IPA, I wouldn't. But if you get a sweet, leathery kind of a cigar, and you have it along with like a stout or some very rich porter,
they kind of play off each other, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's worth giving it a shot once. Mm-hmm. I walked in. It was this cigar bar. It's called Fox's out here, and I have no idea how to pick out a cigar. I walked in like, look, man. I drink dark beers, you know, what do I want? And he picks out like four of them. I'm like, all right, I'll take that one. So yeah, it worked out. So that was some good stuff though.
Growlerado, for those that don't know, been around a lot longer than Perfect Report has. So how did Growlerado start? Was that your first podcast, or was there something before Growlerado?
So we have the show Drunkard's Call, mm-hmm. and Donnie had a show called Beer Frontier.
Oh.
What Donnie did on his show was they would crack some beers, do a little rating on their show, and then shoot the bull for, you know, most of the time. Well, our show had a tendency to last, I don't know, 4 hours at a time because we couldn't shut up. We would drink five or six beers during the show at times. It just got completely unruly.
You can only do that if you're the session in Brewing Network. You can't do it. And no one else can do 4 hours.
Nobody.
Yeah. It was pretty rough. But Donnie heard one of our shows, and he sent me a tweet on Twitter, And I actually didn't get the tweet until about 6 weeks later. I didn't check.
Oh, timely.
Yeah, I didn't pay any attention to my Twitter feed. But we finally hooked up. We did a show together. I went on Beer Frontier. And we decided, you know, maybe we can go ahead and do something, another show that's just all going to be about beer. So it kind of evolved from there. Now, that was when he was back in New York. And we wanted to see what if we could do a show that was going to be just about the love of craft beer. I mean, and if you listen to the show, we never say anything harsh about beers. On Drunkards, I'll have a field day with a beer if I really don't like it. Mm-hmm. But we always find some good stuff to say about the beers. Now, it might be a little bit short if I can't find a whole lot to say that I really liked about it. But there's usually some good things, and there's always good things to say about beer. We've never found a bad beer.
Well, you're just not looking hard enough. Then. Yeah.
He's been to the bottom already, Mike.
Yeah, Ice House, baby. Come
Ice
on.
House. Ain't got nowhere to go but up from here.
So I know having Phoenix ties and being a former Phoenix resident, I know San Diego is a big place to go, take trips to. And so I have no idea, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume it being you're in Phoenix area and you're a big craft beer drinker. I'm going to go ahead and assume you go to San Diego on the reg.
Lost Abbey. Point.
He's got some regular places, not just San Diego.
Pizza Port.
Yeah.
Port Brewing. I'm a port of Lost Abbey. Man, Ale Smith's. Tailgate Brewing.
You haven't even gotten the Stone or Green Flash. Or just
Green Flash, yeah. Legonitis. That's up the coast a little bit, but we got to talk about them too at some point. It's outstanding. I'm between California and Oregon. If I had to leave Arizona, which I would love to, those would be two places that I would just be in absolute heaven. The beer there, the camaraderie. I've done interviews for Growler with folks from San Diego, and the amount of love that they have for each other and the fun competition between each other is just amazing. And when you get into a situation like that where they're collaborating even, it's beautiful. I love San Diego. San Diego's got a lot going on for it.
It is. Have you been to Stone's new, fairly new, the brewery restaurant there?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
It's amazing.
Well, now they got a farm going.
Yeah, I think organic they're building farm, right? A hotel across from it too. Brewery.
Yes, it's going to have like 9 rooms and a keg in each one.
Yep, that's what I heard. Okay. I heard there's a tap. Each room will have a tap. You can just sit there and just drink from the tap.
Directly from the basement.
Yeah.
There's just that's
Stone. They're wild. I mean, and they're cocky. They're brazen about it. I mean, arrogant bastard beer. All right, or ale. That's done. That's them right there.
Yeah.
But you've got to appreciate the the effort, the business that they do, and when it comes down to it, there's nothing evil about it, unless they're talking about Budweiser or somebody like that.
The Budweiser Stone collaboration.
Yeah, I think their Stone is would eat the Budweiser.
We consume you can and everything.
Yes, exactly.
All right, now producer Becky is now pouring out the stout.
Things are starting to look
Santa
up around here.
Santa Fe Brewing.
That was a perfect pour.
Was it?
Oh, I don't know. Whoa. Holy moly. Hold the phone.
Nick is smelling it.
This is like swimming in the coffee section of a supermarket.
Yep. I made sure both of you guys were covered. I know Mikey loves his IPAs, and I know, Nick, you love your
stouts.
Nick
is more stout.
I
You mean that rinsing water that Mikey drinks?
I know. IPA is a little bit more of an entry beer than for the craft scene. I understand that.
See, I don't know about that because I think the IPAs are more complex than the stouts at sometimes. I mean, it's... I think both. I don't know. I'd be scared to walk in on an IPA. That's pretty
I shied away from IPA for a long time because our local brewer, long before Tioga was here, their IPA was horrid. But man, was it strong and $2 happy hour? That's all you needed. So we'd find a way to pound them down. But man, IPAs were not my thing for a long time.
Yeah, well, you guys have one of my favorite ones there, the Scott's Decadent. Ooh. I don't know if you guys are going to have time to get into that one, but we'll go
with that one next. Afternoon, Imperial Java Stout from Santa Fe Brewing. Here we go. I'm going to taste it. Wow, it is. It's just like coffee.
It's just like coffee. There's not even a carbonation bite in it. It's just like coffee.
It's like straight up.
It warmed up a little bit. We had it on the table for a minute, but... Mm-hmm.
But it's nice and creamy, like
it's mellow. I mean, it's not mellow. Yeah. It's smooth, very smooth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, velvety. Yeah, velvety. It's like real easy. I'm like having a hard time tasting the alcohol.
This might. I don't know, Steve. Have you had have you had the Founders before breakfast stout?
Yes.
Would you? I'm thinking this is along those lines.
Yep. I would put this against Founders any day.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, I would put it up against don't tell Donnie. Yeah, but I would put that against Founders any day. And the Beer Fairy is going to have to send a one of those out there to him, so if he can go and actually take a gander at, because he's going to be the expert on it. The guy pretty much lived on it for years. it's just a killer, and it's an imperial.
This is an 8%. Is this an 8%?
8%.
Wow, that does not taste like 8% at all. No. That's crazy. That's a mark of a good beer when it disguises the alcohol that much. Mm-hmm.
This is amazing.
Scary though, huh?
Yeah.
Because during the summertime, you always want that beer that's going to be a sipper. You can just kick back and have one, and just it's refreshing. You could go through a 6-pack of this and be in absolute trouble in no time.
Oh yeah, wouldn't know it. It's one of those times where you do a session where you don't get up for a little while. You're in a bar or a restaurant. You're just hanging out, enjoying the beer or whatever. And you're not really feeling anything, not noticing anything. And then you get up for the first time. And you're like, whoa.
Perfect example. Yep.
The floor I've catches up with been you. Drinking.
Hey, wee.
Wah. I think this beer would do that to you.
Yep, that's a father and son operation out of Santa Fe. That's and they've got an honorable mention in the U.S. Beer Tasting Championship this year, and they've gotten some other awards for it. It's a amazing little beer here. I'm sorry for the clicking if you guys can hear it. I'm trying to get in to the beer that I really have been jonesing for tonight. It's actually a coffee bean stout as well.
Clicking is perfect acceptable on drinking podcasts. So it's understandable, but I'm impressed. I don't know if it's just been hanging out with Nick or what, but I've been getting I've been being accustomed to the porter, you know, Becky too, producer Becky too. She's flipping me off right now.
Yeah. I have one from Grand Canyon Brewing, and this I have not tried. This one before. I think that's one of the other things that we try to do on Growlers. Make sure that we're always trying something different, stepping out of our little comfort zone. And this is a coffee bean stout it's coffee bean stout. It's from Grand Canyon Brewing. Not bad. Not the Java stout that you guys are drinking, but it's not bad.
It's a good one, huh? What's the alcohol in that one?
This one you can taste the alcohol a little bit more, too. I will effort that. I'll look it up. It's not on the bottle, believe it or not.
Hmm. Oh. What? Whoa.
So.
Ska Brewing.
Santan Brewing Company.
Should we go? We haven't tried anything from Santan.
Oh,
we should try the Santan.
I didn't see it.
The hop.
So.
This magical Arizona beers we have. They just keep coming.
I think it'd be a good
segue. Sorry, Matt.
I think it'd be a good segue to talk about Steve's cans.
Yay. Excuse I have to talk about Steve's cans.
We'd like to talk about your big cans. I guess it's weird for us. Well, I'm slow on the uptake, but I'm putting this together. The Midwest, I see you have a lot bigger selection of cans, and the stuff we're getting here that is canned is from everywhere east of us. So is that the norm back there? Is that, do you guys typically can before bottle? I don't know if it's a California thing, but we never saw cans except for Guinness Stout or Boddington's.
I think what the deal is that it's, you've got all of these microbreweries that can't afford to put out the bottles. So the cans are a little bit cheaper. People like them more. Arizona's hot. You take them to the river. You've got lakes around. So they're easy, super easy to transport. Cheaper also, especially so for a microbrewery to distribute, that's going to be a lot better. Take up less space on shelves.
Yeah.
So they can dominate their little area a little bit better and push around some of the bigger ones.
push you around.
Yeah. You do have some of the, like Grand Canyon Brewing does bottles still. Lumberyard does bottles. Not everybody is doing it, but Santan, Grand Canyon does some cans too, but yeah. Santan does more only cans actually. And Four Peaks does only cans, but you can also find their stuff on tap out here a lot easier than anywhere else.
Ooh, that sounds cool. Tap always sounds better. See, yeah. our can prices here, at least in the Valley, they equal the bottle prices. So there's almost no reason to buy them in cans. You know, it's the same number of cans in the packaging.
Really?
Same amount. And so there's no benefit. I mean, other than the pack in, pack out kind of thing. You know, if you're going to the beach for the weekend or going on a hike, yeah, absolutely. Take a can and don't worry about it breaking in your backpack or, you know, you crush them and keep your waste down. Which is great, but yeah, there's no financial benefit to buying the cans here, unless you could only get it in a can. That's the only time I think you'd buy it.
Yeah, I think they stay colder longer, and I know that's a big thing too. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think the benefit of the cans, and that's that the AmeriCan festival that I went to that I was talking about earlier. One of the things about that is that they're trying to beat the stigma that goes along with the bad taste that goes with the cans, because it's not true anymore. It's not. If anything, you start to get more of a draft taste with the cans versus something within a bottle. Because even if you bottle it, you're going to lose a little something over time, whether it's through the degradation from the light that's coming into the bottle or the oxidation, there's going to be elements that are going to hurt it. But if you put it in a can, though, you're not going to have to deal with any of that stuff. So it's going to last longer for you. The biggest example of that for me is have a Sam Adams on tap. Mm-hmm. And then do you guys have the Sam Adams cans out there yet?
Yeah, recently. Just the Boston Lager, I think. None of their seasonals. Okay.
Try a Boston Lager on tap, try it in the bottle, then try it in the can. See which two of the three are going to taste the same. And it's probably going to be the draft in the can.
Ooh, the can challenge. I think we have a new...
It seems like there isn't really much anti-can stuff anymore. Like, certainly in the beginning there was. And I probably was one of those people, cans, I'm not going to drink from cans.
I don't drink cans.
Now it's just sort of become like an accepted thing that it's probably better. I mean, it's not better. Not better to drink straight. I mean, if you're going to drink straight out of something, I'm going to choose a bottle. But if you're able to pour it into something,
take the vessel out of it,
and
go for the beer. Yeah, you probably won't notice the difference.
Right. I enjoy the bottles way more, and I almost always end up pouring into glasses anyway. So the whole can portion of it really is just finding the beer and then putting it into a bottle. I usually don't drink it out of a can. Yeah, but it's there is a little bit of a taste difference, especially within that one, the for the Boston Lager.
Noah, at least you have an excuse to use your Hams beer koozie again. I got a can. I'll put my can in the koozie.
All right, so there's a big, have you guys noticed yet? I don't think it's made it much out of San Diego yet. The Stones Ruination 10, the anniversary Ruination. Has that made it to the Phoenix yet, Steve?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it in Fresno yet either. I think it's pretty, it's just been out like a week or something, so it's going to take a little bit, but hopefully we're going to see it.
Which is funny because we're still seeing the 12-12-12 all over the place.
The 12-12-12?
I don't think that was quite the hit they thought it was. I think really? That might be why.
Yeah, I think they're having trouble getting rid of it. I liked it, but, I mean, it's, come on, let's move on.
Yeah.
That's illegal to drink it now, right?
No.
Police will come.
Maybe BevMo's just, maybe they could put it on clearance or something, and then I'm going to buy it. That Stone Ruination is 10.8.
Ooh.
It's a 10.8 IPA.
You're not supposed to be that high for Stone, that's you crazy bastards.
They're at the bottom of the bottle. It's a stage dive into a mosh pit of hops.
Damn.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now we're talking.
Great little bottle. I'd love to find it out here. June 17th, like you said, last week it's when it came out.
Yeah, well, I'll look for it. I'm not the big Ruination fan, but...
I'm trying to think if I've ever had a Ruination.
I'm sure you have.
Come on. Like the Ruination... I've never had the Ruin 10. I've had the regular Ruination is good.
Mm-hmm.
At least from what I remember.
Did you guys ever go to Stone Brewing?
I've never been.
Just that new restaurant. I didn't take a brewery tour or anything like that.
If you guys get to go down to the brewery outside of Carlsbad, seriously, if you don't feel like you're going to hell, you're selling your soul, they're going to eat your child, let me know. Because seriously, walking in there through these big, gigantic oak doors, just an ominous feel. Huge archway, flying. I mean, it's a scary gothic place. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's everything about their beer and their bottles that comes out in that brewery. It's a crazy place. Yeah.
Well, they're Satanists.
Yeah, obviously. Wicked practicing.
Have you checked out Tucson's scene at all, or Flagstaff's? I know they've got several breweries in both places.
Tucson is doing some interesting stuff. They actually just had I think it was in April, they had another beer fest, and I was invited down there and I couldn't go, but it's getting pretty big down there. They have Dragoon Brewing. In fact, I had an IPA of theirs earlier before we started the show, and it's pretty decent. Another father-son type operation. It's not bad. I mean, if any place was going to be able to turn Tucson around, or if anything was going to be able to turn Tucson around, it would be a nice beer community starting to rise up. I mean, that would be a nice boom to the economy down. Up here, we kind of refer to Tucson as the armpit of Arizona. So.
Oh. See, that's funny because I've always I like to watch small, you know, mid-sized cities like Fresno and kind of compare, like, because everyone tries to compare like the Bay Area or LA to Fresno and like, see the big, it's not a fair comparison. It's,
no.
We should be comparing to Reno and Tucson and Boise, and those are the kind of cities. And I'm like, yeah, Fresno's fine. And so Tucson's one of the cities I definitely watch for and see, you know, what are they doing better than us? Are they doing something better than us? And it's good to know that apparently Tucson's just on the same level as Fresno.
Well, they have Borderlands Brewing down there, which I've had, and it's pretty solid. They're micro, though. And Barrio Brewing makes a strong ale, which is it's called NCAAL.
NCAAL.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a 10.7 strong ale. And it's I think it's better than an Arrogant Bastard.
No.
Yeah, it's well, it's couldn't it's be. Awesome. Yeah. But you know, they're micros. So I mean, the whole Arizona scene, I mean, we don't have anything that really is getting out of Arizona yet. Your Santans and your Four Peaks are going to be the first ones to do it. Mm-hmm. But you know, these other Borderlands, Nimbus Brewing's down there, Barrio Brewing, all these guys are going to start getting better and starting to distribute throughout Arizona. And it's only going to be good. It's only going to be a good competition. And when you see these guys, if you guys are able to make it out for the Strong Beer Fest sometime.
When is that?
It's February. I think it's the 1st of February, right around there.
It's a good time to be in Phoenix.
Nice and cool.
It's the only time to be in Phoenix. But yeah, you'll see all of the microbreweries come out. And I hate calling them microbreweries because they're producing a lot of beer. I mean, these are actually big operations. They're just not distributing nationally.
Yeah.
So Tucson definitely has some teeth. To answer your question about Flagstaff, Flagstaff is getting there. We have Mother Road Brewing, which is a little bit west of Flag. And then Lumberyard is up there too. And I think there's a couple others up there. It's just starting to take off. The thing that's neat about Flag is that the water is different. And since you're getting your water, it's a lot like the Colorado water. If you know, can you guys kind of tell the difference in the waters and the different beers that you're having?
I
hear my cores.
I think so. It seems. I think that's something that's not talked about enough, nearly enough.
Yeah,
is the water.
I think it's a dirty little secret.
You don't hear people talking about where it's the water they start from,
right?
And really, I mean, I listen to a lot of craft beer podcasts. I pay attention to a lot of craft beer media. It's very rare you see somebody talk about the water they start from, and I think that's a huge deal. Like we went to on a full. Producer Mickey and I went on a tour of the Full Sail brewery up there in Oregon, and they made a big deal about it. You know, we're drawing from the river right here. It's we're getting our water from right here, and this is fresh, clean water that it makes a big difference for us to get this. But nobody really, I've never really seen any other brewery brag about the water they're starting with.
See, I think it's a big deal. Just like what you're saying there, I think it's a huge, huge deal. Because when I taste a Colorado beer, it has a completely different character than my Arizona beers. So like Santan and Four Peaks and like Papago, some of the other ones that are here, it just has that, I don't know, something about Phoenix water. Maybe because I grew up here, maybe I'm just imagining, I don't know. But when I taste something that's out of Colorado or out of Flagstaff, that's one of the reasons why I love Lumberyard so much. They make some great Imperials. And I honestly, I mean, we all can use the same ingredients, the same hops, but what's your base? Your base is going to be your water, and what are you putting into it? I think it makes a big deal.
I don't know if there's like an industry standard of purification, like.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, or like this water must be purified in this certain way. I don't know. I mean,
there probably is. I've got a kind of acquaintance, I guess, who's a home brewer, and he competes nationally. And one of the things he does is that he actually gets into the chemistry of the water that he's having. So if the pH is off, I mean, obviously pH and, you know, the balances and chlorine and all this kind of stuff makes a difference. But he actually gets into the amount of charge, electrical charge that goes into the water and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different things that you can do to purify the water in a different way that makes it stand out. And I'm sure, you know, Rogue is sitting up there going, they're laughing.
Exactly.
So the masters get it. You know, your San Diego breweries get it. Your Portland, your Oregon breweries all get it. We're all just starting to find out what's going on.
Yeah, that's crazy. I could see that happening here because a lot of our surroundings are still agricultural, and a lot of farmers and a lot of people are still on wells versus city water, which our city water is heavily chlorinated. Okay. That would make a huge difference in the flavor of the beer.
Absolutely.
Especially, I know some homebrewers that are out in the country, as we call it, and they brew, you know, straight off of well water, fresh from the ground. Nothing's been done to it, you know, except being pumped up a pipe 300 feet from the ground.
Yeah.
It could absolutely make a difference. My friend of mine uses bottled water. He goes and buys 5-gallon jugs to do his homebrew. Because it's already purified.
I think that's what I would do. I would use Arrowhead water.
Yeah.
And just use that.
And, you know, I mean, the cost is a little more in the end, but you're still homebrewing. So,
yeah.
How much are you really have invested in the first place?
I would think it's the least of your ingredients costs.
Yeah.
Bottle of water. If you're homebrewing.
Yeah. I've got to try that.
You haven't tried homebrewing?
Well, I did once, and I thought I had it nailed down. I was trying just
I did once. I'm like, I nailed it.
Yeah.
Done with that. Okay. Awesome. Moving on.
No.
Natty ice clone. No, ice house clone.
I thought I had it nailed.
Your ice house clone.
I've got it. I mean, I've got everything. Sanitizer. I cleared the family out of the house. I've got the house to myself. I've got it perfectly timed. It's going to be done by the time Christmas comes. I'm going to be able to hand it out as gifts. It'll be great.
Yep.
I get it brewed, I get it into the canister, it's sitting, and it's just doing its thing, and I didn't get the top on tight.
Oh.
So it aired up, and I haven't gone back since. I'm just a jaded man.
You're like, screw that.
You know, all I had to do is just, I don't know, sit on the canister or something, make sure it was closed, because I wasn't using, like, the carboys or anything, like, the big, like, ultimate stuff. I was just using your first home brewer kit or whatever it is.
You mean like the Mr. Beer kit?
No, I didn't go Mr. Beer.
Neither has Mikey. It's still in the box.
His mother-in-law.
Have you ever done that, Nick? You've left a little loose and got too much air in there?
No, I'm a professional.
Oh, okay.
They're so, right every time.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, both times right, I brewed.
I'm coming to you perfect. Then when I need tips then. But yeah, I totally swung and missed. Just, it was bad. So amateur, you know.
All right, to finish off the podcast, earlier,
yeah.
Steve.
All right.
This bottle has got wax all over the top, so I'm like having problems opening it.
That's what I had over here with this coffee bean stout, which turns out to be 5.2.
Producer Becky's going to have to take over now.
Oh, 5.2. That's a drinker.
Open this up.
I'm totally a drinker, but it's not. Yeah, I'm not happy with it.
Oh. She's having to dig a spot. Oh, I think producer Becky. No, she's got the wax off.
Now she's going at this.
We can get the bottle top off.
Well done.
Like this is Japanese game show.
5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, she did it!
Oh!
Thank you.
So, Scott Brewing's Decadent Imperial IPA.
That is it's a blast. That's that one and Racer 5's IPA is probably my favorite.
I like Racer 5.
California beer.
I like Racer 5, California. Especially since it's usually like $4.99 for a bomber, and it's like, hell yeah. I'm not getting why it's so cheap, but all right. I'll buy it.
Yeah, just roll with it.
Yeah.
And I've got one now, producer Becky's pouring.
A Disneyland beer of all things.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they have it at the California Adventure for those going to Disneyland this summer.
Yeah. You can now drink beer in Disneyland.
I'll be out there.
It's
actually
in the diner. What's the diner called?
Flo's V8
Cafe in Carsland.
In Carsland.
They have
the only place they have the Racer 5.
They have the Racer 5.
Wow.
And they also have the beer cart that's...
Yes, full of Carl Strauss brewing.
Carl Strauss beer.
Award-winning. That's now pretty now much award-winning kind of behind Carl that. Strauss.
Yeah.
Hidden.
Yes, they don't want you to be obvious.
I remember, I've partied in downtown Tempe several times because that's where all the ASU students go. Yep. And Gordon Biersch, I've always enjoyed Gordon Biersch's stuff there. They got a Gordon Biersch there. Is Gordon Biersch from San Diego? Where is Gordon Biersch?
I don't know. I've only been to the one in San Francisco, so I just assumed they were from there.
Oh,
I don't know.
Feels like they are San Diego, but I don't know. They're everywhere. See, like, Gordon Biersch doesn't really get talked about very much. I don't hear people talk about Gordon Biersch.
Yeah. Well, they do traditional styles. The Martzen is their most popular.
It's at the Portland Airport. I wonder if it's Portland.
Well, it's Portland. No,
I think one of the things that happens to those breweries like that, or even like your BJ's Brewery and stuff like those, is that because they're commercial, because they've got different, they've got, they're franchised, that they start getting a bad name just because of that. That doesn't mean they make bad beer there.
Right.
They just get lumped in with the big beer.
They just get lumped in and with the generic beers. And
they're a restaurant first and then a brewery or something like that.
Right, like the Denny's of breweries. I mean, you're still brewing beer.
No, that would be amazing.
Yeah. You're still a brewery. Give some respect.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. But I take that back. I've been to the Gordon Biersch, Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah. They're way out there.
Way out there.
Jeez.
We're like, look, we recognize something. Go for it.
Everything I say that I'm not completely sure of, there's somebody listening to this program is like, you idiot.
Yeah.
Gordon Biersch is from da-da-da-da-da. We'll I can't hear about believe it these guys.
On our iTunes
who
review.
Let these guys have a beer podcast?
Well, yeah, that's us too. They can't even pronounce Martzen. Sorry.
Have you guys gotten any negative feedback for the Growler Radio?
We got one that was just absolutely over the top. You're a jerk. yeah, and in fact, I still make fun of it because he bagged on us because we had. We talked about having a frosty glass, which, okay, it does. You don't have to have a frosty glass. Yes, it can do some damage to your beer. We get it. But we also like having really cold beer. So that was the whole
especially
point.
When it's 120 outside.
Exactly. When I'm walking in the sun, I want to be able to cool off a little bit. So, yeah, the guy threw a fit about that. Then he gave us a hard time about how we pronounce some of the words. And like, come on, whatever. All right, pro.
And your podcast is how many episodes now?
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
It looks like they're out of San Jose, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just getting a report now. And
this just in.
That Gordon Biersch is from Palo Alto.
Palo.
A little north of San Jose there. Their first one was in Palo Alto. Our researcher, producer Becky.
Yeah, which is strange for a micro... Well, maybe not strange for a microbrew, but... I mean, that's very posh territory. You think it'd be more wine than beer there.
Yeah. Stanford kids.
Stanford.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, so what company's going to be the next Sam Adams?
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say Stone.
Really? Stone's
marching. I still like Sierra Nevada.
No, but Stone's got more interesting beer than...
Yeah,
Sam Adams does. I would say Sierra. I mean,
well,
I would
nobody
be
can
saying
be
Sierra
the
Nevada.
Next exact copy of Sam Adams. That's why I thought he said the next Sam Adams. Like,
yeah,
okay.
As far as
okay, yeah,
like what'll be on sale 4th of July in Save Mart kind of beer.
Okay, what will have an end display?
Yeah,
at Save Mart. Yeah. I don't mean that. No, that's a good choice. I mean, I don't know if I can pick Sierra because Sierra's already almost.
See, I think Sierra's bringing it back. I think they're getting back to their craft roots.
I don't think any craft brewers like Sam Adams. Sam Adams is the
they're ginormous,
the Walmart of craft brewers.
Yeah,
and nobody really is close to them. But I mean, I think
I'm just wondering who's going to cross that line.
A Dogfish.
See, that's not a bad choice. The problem that's going to hold them back, though, is that they're nuts.
I love
their beers. I mean the variety. Those guys are always on the edge. They're always doing something insane. But I think that's always going to keep them an eclectic craft beer.
Hmm.
Yeah,
keep them just enough away from that line where they're
They're doing.
I'm going to go with Rogue. If I had to pick one, I might go Rogue.
Yeah,
that is not a bad choice.
Or Deschutes.
And we were talking about Costco earlier. Rogue is hitting Costco pretty hard.
Wow.
Yeah,
I would love Rogue to hit my Costco.
they got the best beer label series themes.
Yeah.
Oh, by bar none.
Yeah.
And they never miss.
Yeah.
I've never had a bad Rogue. Well, okay.
The Voodoo. Producer Mickey has now got to chime in.
The Voodoo Donut Bacon Maple Ale. That one was a little funky.
I love that one, but I can't stand the Voodoo Peanut Chocolate.
I haven't had the peanut butter, the banana.
Dear God, that sounds awesome.
Oh no! I'll try it. If you didn't like the maple bacon, this one might be for you.
It was just because it was obvious that they put that smoke flavor in there. You know, it wasn't very subtle. It was very obvious.
It was just like a smoked beer.
You know, the rest couldn't even taste the donut. I, a couple sips, and I was like, "Oh, this is good." But to keep drinking it, it was kind of sucky.
It was heavy.
I wanted to taste donut, and all I hit that was smoke.
That's heavy.
Yeah. Bock beer.
Bock.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Bocky. Johann Sebastian?
So tell me about the Decadent. How do you guys like it?
Horrible. Why did you send us this? I'm pouring it out right now.
Be careful driving.
Did you ride here, Nick?
He rides his bike all the time.
He usually rides his bike here.
Good man.
Yeah, he rode his bike.
Careful driving.
I rode my bike.
He does.
He rides his bike.
Yes, I'm one of the few. I guess there's more than one Fresnan that bikes these days.
That's a Fresnan's bike.
One of the very. There's a very
on
this few
on our podcast network. There's Josh, you, Matt.
Yes.
There you go.
That's it.
They're the biking Fresnans.
All three Fresnans that bike. Yes. So if you see a bike parked in the lot, that's me.
That comes in at 10%. Sorry, I was off.
Okay, yeah, I can taste it, man. It's heavy. It is decadent.
Decadent and killer label.
Yeah.
Which I'm horrible at picking beers by label, as Mike would tell you, because the last two I gave him were terrible from what I hear.
Well, I don't know about two. The Trestles.
The Trestles was bad, and the one before that. Awesome label. Awesome label. Terrible beer.
I used to buy D&D books because of the covers, and it kind of works for that, but I found out the beers, it doesn't work.
No. Give me a chalkboard any day.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, I've never heard of this one before, and then they put the bottle on the table. I was like, I passed that up 12 times because I hate the label.
Yeah, the brewer didn't make the label.
Yeah.
Does that Java Stout, is there anything about that labeling that makes you go, I want to buy it?
Yes.
Yeah, because it looks like a freaking road sign.
It does look cool. It does look kind of cool.
And I ignored it just because that it was
I like the simple look that has some has a little bit of coolness to it.
It was classy.
Yeah, I got my monocle.
Totally missed it.
Well, thank you. It's awesome. I'm really enjoying it.
Deal.
So, I think it's time for some cheers and talk about. I'm sure Nick's got some cheers.
Of course I do. But let's start with you.
How about Sean emailed us, one of the board members of, and one of the basically one of the co-founders or chairs of the, I don't want to say co-founder, but of higher ups of one of Fresno's basically brewers club.
So one of the chairs at Warthog Brewing Club, our San Joaquin Valley Homebrewers Association.
Thank you, Dick.
I wrangled it in. he wants to offer creative criticism, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was some good email this and gave us some good feedback and we appreciate that. So anytime you got some feedback for us, you can email us at perfectpourpodcast@gmail.com. And we need more of it.
My uncle has belonged to the Warthogs for about 10 years now.
Yeah, no. Producer Becky's uncle, one of the best brewers in town.
He really is.
If not the best.
No, he won a nationwide award for best. Best pale, I think.
Best pale.
Yeah.
And that's not really even his style, is it?
No, and then he won another one for Russell Brown for his brown. So mm-hmm. He's pretty good. Man's a good,
damn good
brewer. And he's my uncle. He's been very handy.
He got everybody
Everyone
at our wedding messed up.
Drunk at our wedding.
It's good to know a home brewer when you have a wedding.
Yeah. So cheers.
Cheers to Warthogs.
Cheers to Sean and Fresno's Warthogs, Fresno's Homebrewers. And we're going to hit the, they're going to have a meeting at our bottle shop, Das Bierhaus, Fresno's bottle shop,
yeah,
in July. And he invited us to go hang out with them there. And so I think we should be doing that. You know, get out there in the community.
Absolutely. And make our faces seen for once instead of heard.
Steve, have you guys been able to get out there, or how deep are you in Phoenix's craft beer community?
You know, I'm on Twitter, and I try to make it to tastings, and I try to make it to different tap takeovers and stuff like that. But I have this kind of the way it works. I'm the unseen guy. I like to talk about it. I like to read up on it. I like to hit people up on email and chat and do things like that. But face-to-face, I'm just awful at, or I just don't like doing it. So that is probably my biggest drawback. So I'm probably not as big as I probably could be with, like, the Home Brewers Association and stuff. But there's definitely conversations that are had. Talk to the Bart or the bar owners a lot, things like that. I definitely haven't gotten in the way I probably should.
So. Yeah,
it's tough. You gotta have that in. How do you get the door in? You know,
it's like I don't know. It's kind of easier for us being Fresno. Fresno's just like this. It's a, you know, we have 500,000 people living in the city limits and 1 million people in the general area, but it's always has a small town feel where, like, you kind of, everybody knows everybody, kind of feeling, even though technically that's not true, but it's just got that feeling. So it's sort of easier to plug into the community and find who's doing what. And that's kind of one of the benefits of being in Fresno, is like you can really hook in whatever community you're into, whatever kind of thing you're into, you can hook into who's doing stuff in that community.
And they're very welcoming.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of been fun, where we're starting to, it's definitely something we need to get more into, but starting to get into the craft beer community here. And
don't you find that the craft beer community in general, compared to probably any other community that you would want to associate with, is just so welcoming though?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like there's, I think they are the coolest community, because Nick is a local musician, and I'm definitely in the local music scene here. And I think you would think, oh, you know, your music scene is probably the coolest people, but I think actually the craft beer scene people are actually might be cooler than the music scene people.
I would agree with that.
There you go.
The music scene people are getting kind of, you know, territorial. It's getting tough out there. You know, they're not as, like, there's not as much camaraderie as there used to be.
That sucks.
It does. It really does. But
if you're a rock band in Fresno and need a drummer, look up Nick.
Speaking of, yes, unemployed right now.
You have any cheers, Nick?
I've got a couple. It may just be a couple. Lance Featherstrom, one of the Facebook fellas, been commenting and liking and had a kind of conversation or two with.
Where are we at on Facebook?
Perfect Pour Pod.
There you go.
Facebook.com/Perfect Pour Pod.
Talk to Nick. He's so lonely there.
Marshall Krum, local drinker on Instagram. He's been checking out our stuff lately. What else?
You can find my Instagram at Dorktown.
Yeah. At the Nick 80, if you want to find me and all my beer and Volkswagen shenanigans. That's all I have.
Where can we find the Growler Radio and you yourself, Steve?
Oh, you can find us at indiepodcasts.com.
Yeah.
You can hit me up on Twitter anytime you like. It's AYE McShane. Drunkard's Call is our other podcast, but only listen to Drunkard's Call if you enjoy racy commentary.
Yeah. Oh, you guys got into a whole NSA thing last episode, so you guys get some serious shit.
We had a lot of fun with that. We invited the NSA over, and it was great. I mean, they're already here, but, you know.
Well, had them for tea and crumpets.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Like you referenced in that episode, they're always just listening to everything. So
they've been listening to this whole podcast.
Yeah,
yeah. I just like to think that between our podcasts, between Perfect Pour and Growler Radio, the amount of beer knowledge those guys sitting behind those desks have now.
That's
is
right.
We're saving America right
with all the craft beer podcasting out there. The NSA knows their craft beer now.
Exactly. Yeah, we're informing them.
Yeah,
But yeah, that's where you'll find us. All of our podcasts. We've got all kinds of stuff going on at indiepodcast.com. So check us out.
Yeah, you have an episode with Nick. You have an episode with Nick on there.
What? I did what?
And it was great.
What did you do? Yeah, Nick got drunk one night.
I was sleeping
on a podcast. He woke up in the morning. He's like, "What the hell happened?"
I blacked out. What happened?
He got recorded.
He got taken advantage of.
He's out there now.
Donnie's like that.
So tell us about the summer drink off.
Yeah, tell us about this.
Oh, where I?
If you're on Donnie's Twitter or on everybody. Untapped, you need to get involved in this summer drink off.
Oh dear God.
Yeah, check us out on Untapped. It's Growler Radio again. Now the whole thing with the summer drink off, and I should have gotten some stats together to see where everybody was, but I didn't. Donnie, I think he's cheating, but he's out in front. You guys, I know Nick, you've been working hard.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
Sure.
Now, Mikey, you're coming in with Perfect Pour, right?
Yeah. I came in strong at first, and then now I faded off. I keep forgetting to hashtag it or at Growler Radio when I'm drinking.
And that and I'm way in back because I can't seem to get out of Colorado beers. So
yeah, you got to get back into California beers.
Yeah, I think the last one I had was a Lost Abbey, and I've just not been doing well there. So I'm pretty sure it's breaking down like that. It's Donnie, Nick, Mikey, me somewhere in there, and I need to see who else has actually joined us in the fight there.
Well, let's get some more people. Yeah,
it's fun.
Got a long ways to go still.
It's been a long summer. Long, hot summer.
Hey, no better reason.
There you go.
Look for us on Twitter, Perfect Pour Pod. Nick's on the Facebook.
Fastbooks.
And one of those girls on Twitter should start a podcast about beer. That would be hot.
One of those girls?
What?
One of the Wicked beer? Radio Network girls?
Mm-hmm. Or some girls that talk about beer. I don't know. Do they talk about beer?
Oh, you mean Kins Babrews?
Yeah.
And
sure.
All our former guests?
Any of those girls?
I was in Kim's Bay's territory last weekend.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised she doesn't have one. She was pretty...
Yeah, she can...
Mm-hmm. I think she likes the written word better than talking.
Yeah.
But that could just be me.
Why, Becky, why don't you start one?
I don't know. I just know I like it.
No better reason.
I'm using it as a drop. I think Beer Up Your Life, Lauren from Beer Up Your Life, and Kins Babrews should start a craft beer podcast. And they would just dominate this
Mike
one.
Is
so no, never mind. Don't
don't even try.
Lauren, Kim, don't do it. It's really difficult.
It's stupid. You're up on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get drunk on Tuesday night. It's not worth
Skype
it.
Skype all the time.
Horrible.
You got to learn the Skypes. It's just a pain in the ass.
Man.
And then there's editing.
Yeah.
There's talent you have to deal with.
Yeah.
That's the fun
There's
part.
All kinds of personalities. Deal with
conflicts. Right. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to The Perfect Pour.
The Perfect
with Growler Radio, Steve McShane.
Dun dun dun.
And come back again. Drink with us again.
I'm having fun watching Mikey.
You're invited on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.